Breakfast is a very important meal. You agree with that?
Amen.
All right. It has been said we should eat like a king for breakfast, eat like a prince for dinner, and eat like a pauper for supper. Unfortunately, a lot of us have that turned around, don't we? But if you want to eat like a king for breakfast, I have some suggestions. One would be the Cornhusker Hotel, the breakfast buffet. And if that isn't enough for you, I would suggest the Grand Ole Opry Hotel with rooms filled with food, or the Chattanooga Choo Choo. And in days gone by, a lot of people right here in Lincoln love to have their big breakfasts at Alice's Restaurant at the corner of 48th and Prescott, where my wife Bonnie was Alice's right-hand woman. She was the head waiter at Alice's Restaurant. How many of you ever ate at Alice's Restaurant? Did you ever have cinnamon rolls? Anybody ever have cinnamon rolls? How'd you like to have some of those right now? Those were mighty, mighty good. Bonnie, my wife, operated a daycare for a number of years, and she could not believe some of the things the parents would send with their children for breakfast. McDonald's? Come on. Some eat a good, solid breakfast every morning. Some even eat their main meal for breakfast. Have you ever tried that? Anybody ever tried that? Yeah, we tried that. But there was something about broccoli and mashed potatoes, you know, that, I don't know, it just didn't hit me right. And we didn't stick with that. But it might not be a bad idea. One of the most popular breakfasts in America is dry cereal. It's prepared in many different forms. It's puffed, it's flaked, it's shredded, it's granulated, and often sugar-coated. And dry cereal is probably the standard breakfast of more Americans than any other food. And many find it interesting that this food is of Adventist origin and was originally a health food created in the kitchens of the Battle Creek Sanitarium in Battle Creek, Michigan, by Will Kellogg and C.W. Post. I guarantee you that Will and C.W. would turn over in their graves if they saw the breakfast food that we're serving today in their names. Let's try this one. Frosted Flakes. Frosted Flakes are frosted with what? Sugar. That's what that little white film is. Or we may try Lucky Charms. Frosted toasted oat cereal with marshmallow bits. Wow. If you don't like that, you might want to try Cocoa Puffs. Frosted corn puffs with real cocoa and a great chocolatey taste. Or you might want Count Chocula. Chocolate flavor frosted cereal plus marshmallow bits. And then there is Booberry or Frankenberry. Let's think about them first. Frankenberry. Sweet strawberry flavor frosted cereal plus marshmallows. And then comes along Booberry. Am I talking about your favorite cereals, kiddos, out there? What do you think? Booberry, artificial berry flavor frosted cereal plus marshmallow bits. And then one that we used to hear a lot about, not so much anymore, but I like the name of it. It's called Nut and Honey. Flakes of corn with sweet honey and nuts. Check this out. What do you think? Okay, gentlemen, let's go. That's the light breakfast. The fellows have a little something for us to see on the screen, so we're going to give them a second to find it. They're looking. Hold on, we'll get there. Well, while we're waiting for that, anybody want to share what you had for breakfast today? What? Pancakes? Good. Those are good. Did you make them yourself? No, you didn't. All right. A what?
Peanut butter and date?
And banana. Smoothie. That sounds good. That sounds great. Wow.
Wow.
What you eating, babe?
Nothing, honey.
Oh, you can tell me.
Kellogg's Nut and Honey Crunch.
So what makes it taste so good?
Nut and honey.
Oh. Kellogg's Nut and Honey Crunch.
Looks good, Private. What is it?
Nut and honey.
You love the honey, you love the nuts.
When you've got the special taste of nuts and honey all wrapped up in a hearty crunch, what more can you say?
Looks good, Sergeant. What is it?
Kellogg's Nut and Honey.
Nut and honey.
Crunch.
Well, one brand has claimed for years to be the breakfast of champions. The breakfast of champions. You know what that one is?
Wheaties.
And on the cover of all Wheaties boxes is some champion from some field of sports, particularly. Each brand attempts to carefully herald on the side panel its high nutritional value, but we all know dry cereal is not the most nutritional breakfast food. And yet we all know why we eat it. Because it's easy to prepare, it's easy to eat, and is therefore one of the fastest foods. And that's important, for we certainly wouldn't want to waste much time eating breakfast. So we keep the menu simple, and we often do the same with our spiritual breakfast. A text for the day with our hand on the doorknob. A quick devotional thought. Just open the little devotional box, book, and pour out a little thought, and then run and race and go and do something. No time for a real nutritious breakfast. Nothing solid here. And too often, if we were asked what we had for breakfast spiritually, we'd have to answer, nut and honey. But that's not the way it was with Jesus. He ate big breakfasts, early breakfasts, and they were long breakfasts. In the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. A great while before day, spending time with his Father. And this was a practice from childhood. Since Jesus gained knowledge as we may do, his intimate acquaintance with the Scriptures shows how diligently his early years were given to the study of God's Word. And spread out before him was the great library of God's created works, the second book. He who had made all things studied the lessons which his own hand had written in earth and sea and sky. And his life and ministry reveal what he learned in those early breakfasts, in those times with his father. As a 12-year-old at the temple, the leaders of the church were gathered. He was there listening to them, and then they started listening to him. And it says, all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. Later in his ministry, it says about the midst of one of the Jewish feasts, he went up into the temple and he taught, and the Jews marveled. How knoweth this man letters, having never learned? And Jesus said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. Never learned? Are you kidding? He had learned from the God himself, his father. You can't get a better education than that, can you? You can't get a better education. And then from that second book of nature that he studied, he was able to share things with people like this. Behold, the fowls of the air, they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? And why take you thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. What do you say? Oh, that guy was arrayed too. That gold throne and those lions and all the rest. So that the Queen of Sheba came all the way just to see it. But one of these little flowers, Jesus said, is more beautiful than he was. Why? Because he made them. He made them. He knows how to make things beautiful. And here at the heavenly breakfast table, Jesus was daily filled with peace and power for a day of toil and service, feasting on the words and the works of God and speaking directly with his heavenly Father. And just think, that same privilege is available to us, breakfast with the King every morning. What do you say? And unlike Daniel and his three friends, we don't have to refuse the menu of this king, for his royal food is truly the best there is. And when this kind of food is available, royal food, heavenly food, why would we ever skip breakfast or settle for dry cereal? You know, it's hard to understand why we love dry cereal so much. It's even called dry. And then we have the nerve to turn right around and apply the same term to something that isn't dry at all. Jesus certainly didn't find it dry. He found that it really snapped, crackled, and popped. The devil said, turn these stones to bread. And the word of God snapped back, no. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Jesus was saying, I'm going to follow my Father, thank you, devil. I have nourishment that you know not of, like Jesus said to the disciples at Jacob's well. The devil said, jump off the temple. But the word of God cracked back, no, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. The devil said, just bow down, worship me. But the word of God popped back, no, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. He found the word of God to snap, crackle, and pop. And he found it to be just the right menu to help him meet each day's challenge and conflict. Just the right nutritional value to meet the daily requirements of faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and charity. That's also in Peter. Thank you, Peter. And there are no false claims on this side panel. And he loved to get up early and enjoy a big breakfast of this kind of food. Or did he? Did he really love to get up early? Or could it be said of Jesus, to paraphrase an old gospel song, up from the sack he arose with a mighty victory o'er his foes? Do you suppose he had foes fighting against him on this point too? Fatigue? Just wanting to sleep in? Maybe Jesus was even a natural born late sleeper? Is that possible? Are there any late sleepers here? You're a late sleeper. You can't be a late. You're a teacher. Let's take a closer look. Let's take a little bit closer look now at this passage. He got up early. He got up very early in the morning, a great while before day. Let's look at the context, the setting of that verse. While the congregation in the synagogue were still spellbound with awe, Jesus withdrew to the home of Peter for a little rest. But here also a shadow had fallen. The mother of Peter's wife lay sick, stricken with a great fever. And Jesus rebuked the disease, and the sufferer arose and ministered to the wants of the master and his disciples. Tidings of the work of Christ spread rapidly throughout Capernaum. For fear of the rabbis, the people dared not come for healing upon the Sabbath, but no sooner had the sun disappeared below the horizon than there was a great commotion. From the homes, the shops, the marketplaces, the inhabitants of the city pressed toward the humble dwelling that sheltered Jesus. The sick were brought upon couches. They came leaning upon staffs or supported by friends. They tottered feebly into the Savior's presence. Hour after hour they came and went, for none could know whether tomorrow would find the healer still among them. Never before had Capernaum witnessed a day like this. The air was filled with the voice of triumph and shouts of deliverance. The Savior was joyful in the joy he had awakened, and as he witnessed the sufferings of those who had come to him, his heart was stirred with sympathy, and he rejoiced in his power to restore them to health and happiness. Not until the last sufferer had been relieved did Jesus cease his work. It was far into the night when the multitude departed, and silence settled down upon the home of Simon. The long, exciting day was past, and Jesus sought rest. But while the city was still wrapped in slumber, the Savior, rising up a great while before day, went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. Thus were spent the days in the earthly life of Jesus. He often dismissed his disciples to visit their homes and rest, but he gently resisted their efforts to draw him away from his labors. So all day he toiled, teaching the ignorant, healing the sick, giving sight to the blind, feeding the multitude, and at the eventide or in the early morning, he went away to the sanctuary of the mountains for communion with his Father. Often he passed the entire night in prayer and meditation, returning at daybreak to his work among the people. Thus were spent the days in the earthly life of Jesus. You know what that means? This was his daily schedule. Elder Morris Vinden and I shared many happy times together, working together at College View. And we talked about these things together. And one day we discussed, how much sleep did Jesus get a night? And we came up with 5 hours as our estimate. Can't prove it. But if he worked into the wee hours and then got up in the early morning before daybreak, he couldn't get much sleep, could he? And he had to have fatigue. He might have wanted to sleep in. He may even have been a natural-born sleeper, a late one. Did he always feel like getting up a great while before day? I doubt it. No doubt he had plenty of foes, and so do we. Ours may come in different forms, but have the same effect. Ours may be the late show with Stephen Colbert or a late night ballgame or movie. But by God's power, it can be said of us. Up from the sack he arose with a mighty victory o'er his foes. And we too can discover the joy of eating breakfast with the King every morning. We too can discover that this breakfast is not dry. We too can discover it to be just the right menu for each day's challenge and conflict. And we too can discover the joy and peace this food brings. For it truly is the breakfast of champions. I want to tell you what I had for breakfast this morning. I don't have time to tell you the whole story. I just got to tell part of it. I had Jesus for breakfast. I saw him cleanse 10 lepers. I listened to him describe the end of the world and his coming. I heard his appeal for us to pray consistently and never quit in the story of the unjust judge. I saw how he values humility over pride in his story of the Pharisee and the tax collector. I saw how he values children and how we must become like them to see the kingdom. I saw how the Ten Commandments work, including both halves, love to God and love to man, in the account of the rich young ruler. I saw how we'll be rewarded for giving all, as he asked the rich young ruler to do. We will receive multiplied blessings in this life, and in addition, eternal life. What do you say? Amen. Eternal life. This was a delicious breakfast. And all in less than 2 chapters of his word. I don't have time to tell you all the delicious things I had in the other 8 chapters I had for breakfast this morning. I began enjoying consuming the word of God May 1. And in about 2 weeks, I will have finished the entire Bible since May 1. Absorbing Old Testament, New Testament. There's no menu like it, brothers and sisters. We are what we eat, they say. And it must be true, for that's what our scripture today is saying, isn't it? Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. There's a sundial at the grave of W.K. Kellogg, the founder of the breakfast food industry, silently declaring the old adage, the early bird gets the worm. And it's true. It's true. For our sound people, to commune with you is what my heart desires, to commune with you, is when my spirit breathes, when I'm in the presence of your holiness, to commune with you is all I need. Fill me with your love, cleanse me with your fire, change me through your presence, and restore me. To commune with you is what my heart desires, to commune with you is when my spirit breathes, when I'm in the presence of your holiness, to commune with you is all I need. For there's no greater love that fulfills my soul. There's no greater need I have than to commune with you. To commune with you is what my heart desires, to commune with you is when my spirit breathes, when I'm in the presence of your holiness, to commune with you is all I need. Our Father, we pray that we might come to love you as much as Jesus loves you, to enjoy spending time with you and with him as much as he enjoyed spending time with you. Help us to live by every word that proceeds from your mouth, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.